Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. This is Joe, aka Dark Temp 66. Thank you so much for listening. This episode is kind of going on the trend that we've been doing, and I actually think it is our last one for faction-specific intros. And this is intro to Nilfgaard. We're essentially just talking about where Nilfgaard is now, what we recommend crafting and playing, and some of the issues with Nilfgaard currently, October 2020. Also, please make sure, if you do like the content, to hit the subscribe button in your favorite podcast engine. That way you can get a moment, in the moment notification when we go live, and also when we add it to the episodes. Also, be sure to head over to our YouTube channel, The Barkeeps of Redania. You can actually look at the video feeds if you did miss it live. And also you can head over to thebarkeepsofredania.com for some new news, to sign up, to donate to the channel, to help with some of the cost. Then also to get some information on what we're doing. Like, currently we're doing a tournament. It does have a purse winnings for first place, so no cost to you. So that would have been kind of cool if you would have signed up. But guys, thanks again so much for listening. And without further ado, this is intro to Nilfgaard.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? My name is Cole. I stream over at twitch.tv/jumborelic. I've been playing Gwent for about a couple years now. I mainly play Scoia'tael and Skellige. So today, I guess we're talking about Nilfgaard, and I'm going to try to add the best 2 cents that I can. But definitely check out the stream. I'm actually live right now, twitch.tv/jumborelic. I appreciate all of you guys. Thank you.
That's Jumbo Relic going in with the podcast. So guys, welcome so much to the podcast. This is Dark Temp 66.
Thank you.
A.K.A. Joe. We're talking about intro to Nilfgaard today, so it might not be the most listened to podcast, because some of the comments I'm getting are just tell people not to play it, make it a 15 second episode. But we're gonna try to make it an episode that is worth listening to, because our podcast is about new players, people getting into the game, trying to find the faction they think will be the best for them. So we don't want you to decide on what faction you should play because of the current meta, because we know the meta changes like very frequently. So when I started playing Gwent, I don't know about you guys, everyone hated Nilfgaard. That's why they call it Filthgaard, right? Double Masquerade Ball. With Anahi, there was Triple Masquerade Ball. Now nobody plays Nilfgaard. So is that because of a meta change, or is that because of people learn how to do it? So Nilfgaard, guys, let's talk. What about Nilfgaard? What do you like? What do you don't like? All that stuff.
They're dead. I'm just kidding.
No. Let's kick things off. So what I enjoy about Nilfgaard is that it's one of the more challenging factions to play, in my opinion, which might be the barrier of entry for a lot of new players. However, it's definitely one of the more interesting ones to play, because it's far beyond just the generic scheme of slamming points on the board. There's a lot more strategy, right? If you factor in some of the assimilate decks with the double cross ability, for example, you have to have a really well rehearsed knowledge for the game, because you're going to be creating cards from your opponent's faction or your opponent's hand, and you have to be able to know how to play those cards regardless of what faction you're playing against. So it becomes really tricky. But to summarize, Nilfgaard is collective locks, poisons, and anything to really frustrate your opponent is put into this faction, which is why I think a lot of people hate it.
Yeah, so what's assimilate? I mean, so if I'm coming to the game, you're telling, so poison, it makes a lot of sense, right? Like lock, okay, maybe makes a lot of sense, makes some sense, but assimilate, what is assimilate?
Assimilate's it's the most popular, I would say, archetype right now that people are using for Nilfgaard. Essentially, what assimilate is, it's a, when the unit is boost, when you play a unit that's not from your starting deck, that's when the unit with assimilate status will boost. So by creating cards that are outside of your deck, you're able to proc these engines and stuff like that.
So Cole, you were trying to say before?
I just started playing Nilfgaard like 2 days ago, and I'd have to agree with Cusenta what he was saying about them being very structured. Like I usually play like Scoia'tael and Skellige. You can just pretty much throw down whatever and you can score a lot of points, and they're very flexible to play with. But when you play with Nilfgaard, you have to play a specific way. You have to get the specific cards in order to play those other cards down the line, or it's just not going to work out for you. So I would say it takes a little bit more skill, just like he said, to play that faction.
Do you guys think that Assimilate and like a mill deck, which we haven't talked too much about mill decks, do you think that's kind of where you can only play Nilfgaard? Or do you think there's still room for Masquerade Ball, Lock, and Poison?
There definitely still is room for Masquerade Ball, but it's very limited to what you can do. You either throw it in round one or you throw it in round three. And it's just like how I was talking with Blaps yesterday and when we were in Relic Stream. Nilfgaard doesn't really have the option to lose round one without getting bled in round two and then trying to somehow come out of round three with a win. It's like they have very limited options as to how are they going to pull off that W, you know? Now that everything's changed with the way scenarios are now doomed, and then with their provision count increasing for some of their cards. So, like, I mean, it's not bad. It's just, it's very limited as to what it can do. Right. But it still can be a powerful deck.
I've seen sort of a difference in the way that people are running Masquerade Ball now than there was maybe about 2 months ago. So before, they would just run a very heavy removal deck, and they would put in a bunch of supplementary poison cards and different types of locks and stuff like that to really go ahead with Masquerade Ball. But now I'm seeing it mainly as a foundation for the whole Assimilate play, because Masquerade Ball creates two cards and adds them to the game and then spawns a third card. So you're able to actually trigger the effects of your Assimilate engines when you use Masquerade. And if they're not running Masquerade Ball, I'm seeing the addition of running Portal instead. So it really one of two ways that people are leaning towards right now.
Yeah, and you have to play a long round when you're playing Nilfgaard. You have to play a long round where you're not going to get that value out of that scenario. You're not going to get the value out of your Assimilates. So if you're getting bled, like he said, round two, you're probably not going to have a chance in round three just because you need all those cards in order to get that tall point status.
Yeah, Assimilate is definitely, I think, the most popular archetype for Nilfgaard right now at the moment that I've been seeing on ladder. But what I do like about Nilfgaard is they have multiple archetypes to choose from. While they might not all be viable or very strong, I mean, you do have Assimilate, and then you do have Mill, which personally I'm not a fan of. And then you have Enslave Tactics, and then you have Masquerade Ball. You know, you want to focus on Soldier's Ball, and then there's like Poison Ball. And then Lockdown in its own is honestly, it's pretty fun to play as, but I don't like playing against Lockdown.
So I think the problem with Nilfgaard is you saw that. So Karathi Heatwave was kind of introduced, I think, to play against scenarios, right? And then you had the changes that happened to Bomb Heaver. But I think what CDPR didn't realize is when they made scenarios doomed, they didn't make any change to a Karathi Heatwave. And I could be wrong. Maybe it had such an impact on Nilfgaard. They weren't thinking in the grand scheme, right? They were trying to doom scenarios so scenarios couldn't be brought back. But I think when they made Karathi Heatwave, it was to answer the scenario like Masquerade Ball, but then they just wound up dooming this scenario so it couldn't even be brought back in the first place. I don't know. I mean, and I think you brought up a good point that Nilfgaard doesn't really have a huge answer after Masquerade Ball. If you're playing Masquerade Ball, I mean, what is the answer outside of Masquerade Ball? None?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Because I've been trying to build a deck that would play Masquerade Ball, but would have a conditional win if Masquerade Ball was dealt with, or if I was able to deal Masquerade Ball that I was able to win round one, what was I going to use in round three? And I can't find it. I mean, I don't.
One thing I have been seeing a lot of people do is like they'll still run like Brathens and then just play like a small Assimilate like round three.
You have to have Brathens. I don't think you really have a choice. If you're playing Masquerade Ball, you have to have that card.
Glinitz was actually a big win con for me. Don't underestimate that. It plays very well with Masquerade.
I'm seeing a lot of Letho being played, but then Letho has to be played against some other ones too, right? Like you can't play Letho against Brothens, of course, because you don't get the deployability. I don't know. It's confusing.
Yeah, going back to your Lockdown statement, like if you're playing Lockdown with scenario, If they shut down your scenario, you're literally, you have nothing left. You don't even have a leader. So trying to play around your scenario after it's gone, you're pretty much SOL at that point. So Heat Wave is still viable against scenario cards, tall cards, defenders. But other than that, it's really tough to play Nilfgaard right now since they nerfed it.
Do you think they're tough to play because people haven't figured it out, or do you think because their main component has been dealt with, or do you think it's because there's just every other faction is just more powerful?
Most decks are running a Heat Wave these days, so I mean, if you're running that scenario, it's going to get taken off, and just like he said earlier, you know, it's really hard to, you really don't have a second wind, I guess you would say, to play, because that's your literally your main deck is all based around that scenario. And then, like he said, you have to play a long assimilate round to make up for it.
I think it's a mix of a couple things. Like Q was saying earlier, Nilfgaard is actually one of the harder factions to play. I think I agree with that. I think I would say it's the second hardest faction to play behind Syndicate. And I think they just got power corrupt, really, in these last couple of patches. You know, it seems like the other factions are getting buffs while Nilfgaard is getting nerfs, you know, with nerfs to like Brothans really hit pretty hard. And the bronzes are just not that great compared to other factions, like when you look at Skellige bronzes.
I think that's a good point, too, that when you look at bronzes when it comes to Syndicate and Skellige, Nilfgaard, it has the Thirsty Dame, right? That was the big bronze. But then at the same time, it relies on status effects. It relies on Masquerade Ball. When you take that component away, yeah, sure, it still works, but not as good as it used to. I mean, you have Mage Infiltrator as well, too, which is an amazing bronze card. Which can deal with things like a Driga Larva if you're playing a monster deck and things like that. But yeah, I agree with that too. I think they've kind of taken that out of the mechanic.
I think what the game truly needs right now is, like, you know, now that we know for sure that there is no balancing patch coming, you know, that nothing is getting changed. Whenever this new season drops or expansion, whatever you want to call it, I really think Nilfgaard needs a workaround with their spies. And I hope that they get some kind of like archetype boosts in any of their categories, because like I believe what there's mages that could be hinted and witchers. I mean, Nilfgaard seems to be most of the cards in their faction, or not most, but like most of the witcher cards are in their faction, and then mages are in their faction as well. So I feel like Nilfgaard is probably going to get a slight improvement next expansion, hopefully.
Well, they said they were going to get a slight improvement the next expansion as well. They joked about it, but, like, it didn't get anything. Like, we expected Vincent, when they did the Vincent and Morlam fix, that was going to be they were like, oh, it's going to be a bluff. But it didn't turn out to be that at all, you know? So, I mean, when was the last time, I think, when you think of Nilfgaard, how long we've been playing, right? So most of us have been playing since beta, or, you know, or have come back after beta like me. I played beta for a few weeks and I didn't do it, and then I came back right when it was introduced to Android and iOS. When was the last time a faction was like, don't play this faction?
I haven't been playing as long as you guys, so I can't really think of a time.
Before Master Mirror, there was a brief period of time where everybody said, don't play Squirtle.
Yeah, because the Harmony died.
So you're saying when Harmony died. So when Mystic Echo.
Yeah.
So that's when that's... Okay.
Well, that's when Shiru was pretty popular, though, right?
I think it was when people started playing it. I don't think it was as popular then, but when people started to.
Yeah. So I got a mention from Evade saying that, obviously, we don't... Or as Nilfgaard does not want a long round, depending on their opponent. For example, Hidden Cash or Congregate, obviously Nilfgaard will not win in that situation because they want a short rounds for round three against those type of cards. But then if they're running Assimilate, then they want a long round. As long as they save the ball and the usurper for the other, like NG mirror played matches, like Imposter and Lockdown, I think they have a better chance of winning. But like any of those swarm decks where they spread wide, I don't think Nilfgaard will win it ever.
Yeah, but it's so conditional. And I think that is what makes the faction so weak. People saying, we make it a joke, don't play Nilfgaard, because it's so conditional. You have pretty much a few things that you can do, and you have a few answers that you can make to another faction, but if those factions get answered, you're fucked. And I think that's the difference between other factions. And I mean, that could just be an experience in playing the game, but you have other factions like Skellige, I think, that has so many different answers that they can make. You know, so many different win conditions they have in a certain deck.
And, like, you would do the, what we saw in the open. Nobody ran Nilfgaard at all. Like, there was... Nobody runs it. And then all what was surprising, what you saw in this past open, was everybody was running Precision Strike. It was all just control-heavy decks, unitless decks, and then forcing their opponents to play cards that had deploy abilities and they couldn't do anything. Like, Nilfgaard relies on a lot of deploy abilities as well.
So let's get off the... Let's get off the pro talk, right? Let's get out of the, we've been playing this game for a long time, don't play it, you're never going to be successful. And let's get into the mindset of somebody who is just starting the game out, who loves the idea of spies, loves the idea of poison, lock, control, all that stuff. Can you play Nilfgaard and climb the ladder?
Yes. Yes. I have a frequent flyer to my channel, and he's actually a good friend of mine, but he started playing... You know, when I showed him about a month ago, and you know, he decided he wanted to go with Nilfgaard as his main and sort of construct those cards. And he's been seeing a lot of results in the past month's time. He's gotten from rank 29 as a brand new player all the way, I think, to rank 10 right now, and that's just in 20 odd days. So I certainly believe that Nilfgaard can get you into pro rank, and you could actually win games in pro rank. But maybe it's not going to be the win rate that you're happy with right now in pro.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I said, I just started playing Nilfgaard 2 days ago in pro rank, and I think I maybe have like a 50% win rate there. Just mainly from misplays, but like I said, it's all about setting up your cards in that specific order, and sometimes it's just getting lucky with that RNG.
Yeah, you gotta play it smart, but also you gotta know the meta with Nilfgaard. You gotta know what cards you want to counter, what removal tools you want to save, when to use them, and things like that.
Yeah. Let me add on to the removal thing. I noticed there's not very much removal as far as like options go. Joust only removes for 4 points, and then after that you have Assassin, and that's only 6, but it can go down to 4 if there's adjacent units. So I feel like the removal for Nilfgaard is not as strong as other cards in other factions, and that kind of hurts me.
I think that's probably because it has so much to do with its lock abilities and its poison abilities, which, you know, it's a removal in itself, but it takes a little bit longer because other factions don't have that removal ability. I could be wrong. Just a couple of people coming into the chat. You know, Polzesta is saying, would you say it's conditional by the nature of the faction having the gimmick, or better to say yet gameplay strategy of beating your opponent with their own deck? Evades, really good pro player, making some really good decks, says he has a 25-31 MMR in pro rank right now, still viable, just have to pilot it smart. So is that more that people aren't playing against Nilfgaard as much, they don't know how to deal with it, or is it that, you know, the deck, it's just different in pro rank? And then Kilogram Sam saying if it's Helix, he is at 8, I believe, now. But yeah, so, yeah, I think it's, I don't know. I think as a new player, you should definitely look at the factions and kind of what play style you want to play, right? So Nilfgaard is definitely going to be one of your most control-heavy decks. And that's what I loved about Nilfgaard. I felt like the person I was playing was raging very loudly in their living rooms when I was playing them. And that's what I loved so much about Nilfgaard. And you had the option to kind of choose how the game was going to go more and more and more. So let's focus on a new player. They're building Nilfgaard decks. They just love it. They don't care what the meta is now. And when you're climbing the meta, I think, or not climbing the meta, but when you're climbing in rank, you're probably going to play a lot of Monster. You're going to probably play a lot of Skellige, probably play a lot of Skoyatel. So you're probably, people aren't going to know how to react to Nilfgaard. What Nilfgaard cards would you build? Like, if you had to say, these are the top 5 Nilfgaard cards to scrap, make, what would you do?
My favorite one is Yennefer's Invocation. It's a spell card that places an enemy unit at the top of your deck. So that's like your removal card, and I think we missed that one a bit earlier, but you could take any unit out of play on your opponent's side. If you're running an Assimilate deck, when you play that unit next round, then it'll actually trigger the Assimilate effects of all the cards that you have with that status. So I love that card. It's amazing.
It's not only like you said, it's a mill, or it's not even only removal, but it's a like I love this fucking card. I'm taking it.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, it's an Nelf Guard deck.
Just... And another one, if you're running Invo, run Roderick. That way, if you pull it during the same round, you can Roderick and pull it back out and play it against him.
So how would you explain that combo for people that don't know what Roderick is?
Roderick is a 2-point gold card that you play on the enemy side of the board. And from there, it'll pull out the top two gold cards from your deck. So if you steal that card, it's going to go back in your deck, and you can actually Roderick out and replay that same card against him.
Which is just stupid. But it works.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
What other cards are you guys thinking of? I'm a Vincent Van Morlahem, which I know has kind of been killed a little bit, but, you know, it's a creature card when played. You know, it destroys, removes a card with a certain type of status, which can be really good. What other cards you guys
say,
think
about? I would say Fionnvar Garnel, if that's how you say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the defender that they have, Fionnvar Garnel. Mm-hmm. So basically, a lot of the cards that you play with Nilfgaard are contingent on keeping on the playing field until next turn. Anything from Vadier to Stefan or Damien, right, that have order effects. By putting out this defender, it's a great way to protect those assets, but it also triggers Assimilate because it spawns and plays a copy of Battle Preparation, which is a tactic card that boosts the unit by 4 and gives it 2 armor. So again, that's another really easy way to trigger the Assimilate effects while protecting things that are either engines or waiting for their orders.
Also, let's talk about the fact that Nilfgaard is the only faction in the game that allows you to restore your used leader ability with Damien. Like, I can't tell you how many times people will stack up a defender with, you know, with their initial copy of defender, and then they'll play like something like Letho and protect it even more. So that way, if you take out one defender, they can just have another one on the melee row to protect Damien again.
Oh, yeah.
And or then, even play a double Damien and just basically reuse their leader twice.
I would say another really good card to keep or you're trying to scrap for if you're trying to play Assimilate is Glynis. That's a really, really good card. If you're going to build any kind of Assimilate deck, you're going to want to build around your Glynis. Also, if you're trying to build an Assimilate deck, another important card I would have to say is Portal, because it pulls out 2 Assimilates off the rip, plus if you got a Glynis down, that's a 4-point boost already. Just off those 2 cards.
We can talk about Usurper Officer. Or your general.
Yeah, Usurper General.
He's amazing.
Yeah, that guy plays for a guaranteed 12. If you
have a Dame on the board and you play the Usurper, the Dame gets boosted from the Spies. So that's pretty good synergy.
Yeah, I miss when we had a strategic withdrawal in the game and you could just use Usurper twice, basically. That was just a lot of points.
24-point Usurper.
Yeah, so I mean, I feel it's conditional though with a lot of the cards. What other cards would you guys think are big? So if you're a new player, it sounds like we're talking a lot about Assimilate, right? That's kind of where you want to go. With Nilfgaard, we talked about Yennefer's Invocation. Do you think Masquerade Ball is a scenario they should be making, or do you think they should kind of be skipping that whole scenario?
I think they can make it if they want to. If it looks like fun for them to play, why not? There's still ways to make it work, especially in those lower ranks. If they're going to have fun ranking up maybe from 29 to the mid-teens, I'm pretty sure they can do that off a typical Masquerade deck.
I would definitely say make Joaquim, for sure. You know, he allows you to play the top non-disloyal unit from your deck and boost it by 8, but it gives them 4 points on their board, though, on your opponent's board.
If I'm playing Nilfgaard, what deck do I not want to play against? What is my worst opponent?
Anything that goes wide.
Yeah. Outside of every single faction, no, I'm joking.
And if you're playing, let's say you're playing a heavy Assimilate deck, you really don't want to be up against Hidden Cash Syndicate, because the slice of choice is going to boost every single time you spawn a card, and it's going to get out of hand, and you have no removal.
Exactly. I was just about to say that. I completely agree with that.
Mm-hmm. I was also going to say the Precision Strike deck, now that's taken over the meta, you know, with all its unitless plays, and basically you're just sitting there like, what is Assimilate copy if there are no cards on the field?
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, I think with Nilfgaard, I think every faction can work with Gwent, right? If you're a new player and you're looking to make new cards, you're kind of interested in what you should play. We did an introduction to currency on the last episode that kind of talk about where you should be spending your money, where you should be focusing on the reward book. But I think one of the things with Gwent is to just find the faction that kind of you like the most, right? Like what kind of goes with your idea of what the game should be played as. And then meta is going to change, right? So monsters we talk about is something a lot of people climb with because it's easier concepts to understand. We're saying that Nilfgaard is probably the second hardest to learn outside of Syndicate. So I think you should kind of learn on what you think faction-wise you're going to like the most. So that kind of goes into that. There's a lot of cards we probably haven't talked about, but you can visit the website at thebarkeepsvirginia.com. You can visit the Bandit Gang stuff. Has really good stuff when it comes to cards, what cards you should make. And, of course, PlagueGwent.com. There's a lot of really good decks, trending decks that you can kind of look up for factions there, too. But kind of talking about some other things. Ezra, what's going on in our community that you should talk about? We have a tournament coming up, right?
Yes, the tournament starts tomorrow. Oh my gosh, those 8 days took forever to arrive, but it is finally here. Who is ready to win, or I should say, for a chance to win $100?
Yeah.
Wait, what? So if I win the whole tournament, then there's a chance to win money?
No, no. Well, there's a chance because you got to get to the finals, but
like a roll up the rim to win type thing, or a McDonald's Monopoly type thing.
Exactly. So, you peel off on that little cup and you don't get shit. That's what it is.
Our tournament filled up really quickly, so I think next time we're going to do it a little bit differently to give other people a chance. But we're doing a tournament. TheBarkeepsVirginia.com. It's a pro player tournament. It's our actually first inaugural, I guess you could say, a tournament where we have some prize money to kind of go for it. But I think the Bandit Gang is also doing a tournament as well. Jay Huggs, you want to talk a little bit about your tournament or what's going on with that?
Yes, yeah, so Bandit Gang is having a tournament as well, and the qualifiers are tomorrow. It's called the Duel Dogs. Qualifiers are tomorrow, like I said, and it's going to start at 8 a.m. United States Central Time, which is my time zone. But if you go to the challenge link, it should automatically convert to whatever time zone you're in. And the finals will be this weekend, I believe. It's day one, day two, Saturday, Sunday. So look forward to that. I will be streaming that if you're interested.
So we were talking a lot about the Barkeeps of Redania is meant for new people joining in, streamers or non-streamers. So you have us, the Barkeeps of Redania, of course you have Bandit Gang as well. You have a lot of great teams out there, so please support your Gwent community. It's not just about us, it's about the community, right? And that's what the reason I stuck with Gwent for the most part. But we also kind of want to introduce a little bit more into gaming as we realize there's more games coming out. We're going into the holiday season. It's not all about Gwent, right? As much as we want it to be about Gwent, it's not all about Gwent. But I think the holiday season is going to be about CDPR, right? It's going to be about CD Projekt Red for sure. The most anticipated game, I think, in the next 10, 15, 20 years. Cyberpunk 2077, we heard some shitty news today. How do you guys feel about the shitty news?
That's fine. It gives me time to find a new graphics card.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, perfection takes time, right? Looks like a great game.
Perfection takes time.
I'm not
surprised. You know, everybody was saying to you, well, as long as they get the game out and it's all good, put the rest of the resources that are left over into Gwent. Maybe we'll get something.
How long have we been waiting? It was the same feeling I had when StarCraft 2 kept getting delayed. I was like, dude, I've been waiting for how many goddamn years? Like, I don't care anymore.
Cyberpunk was announced actually before The Witcher 3. So it's been in work since like 2013, 2014. It's been a long time.
I'm glad I only heard about it last year, so I don't have to suffer the way you guys have been suffering.
Yeah, like, It's been in works for a long time. And then he even made a cameo in The Witcher 3, you know, a little sneak peek teaser that they threw in during the story.
So let's,
if people
let's
know say, what I'm, that's familiar about with that.
Let's say we're not talking about Cyberpunk. Do you guys have any games you're excited for that we haven't talked about?
Oh, yeah. I got one.
There you go.
I love the Dying Light series. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
Dying Light 2 is coming out, and that was pushed back a lot of times, and I was really pissed. But I think it's supposed to come out in the next couple months. So it's, you know, definitely a good online co-op game to play because you have that feature. So,
well, Dying Light, when I started, I'm trying to remember when I started playing it, but there was a reason. I was at my house more than I usually would be. And I usually don't play games that are scary because I'm a punk. And there was a point of the game where, like, if you go out in dark, right, it's a lot harder. And I would never go out in the dark. I was like, this game's fucking stupid. I'm not playing. So I started playing Dying Light. In my opinion, was one of the most underrated games at that time. I mean, if you have not played Dying Light, it's an absolute play, for sure. It's a buy.
Great game.
If there's any game I'm excited for that probably is coming up after Cyberpunk, it's Resident Evil 8, The Village.
I was about to say that.
Yeah. Yes. I'm playing Resident Evil 4 right now, and I'm loving it. Just that nostalgia factor. I'm thinking about getting 5, honestly. Even though I've beaten the hell out of both of these games, it's like, I love the old school Resident Evils more than the remakes because they actually were good. Like, the remake for 2 was great, but then 3 was horrible, so underwhelming. Right? So underwhelming. Yes. They ruined so Resident Evil 3.
100%. Yes, I agree.
Talking about that, Guillermo del Toro, but Kojima just announced a new game. He doesn't say what it is, but they're saying they're making a new game. So if you're a fan of the Death Stranding series or anything Kojima, Guillermo del Toro, you should be relatively excited, right?
PT Part 2, if it ever comes to life.
Listen, I looked at a YouTube video of that for about 30 seconds, and I said, I'm never playing that game.
Yeah, PT was insane. I actually had it back when I had a PlayStation 4. I actually had that demo on my PS4. And actually, it's crazy is that people who have that demo, there is no way to get it now.
Yes.
And you can actually, like, you could sell that PS4 that has the demo on it for a ton of money because it cannot be played at all anymore.
Yeah, he's right.
So, yeah, anything
and I regret it. I regret it. I sold my PS4 with it.
I think J-Hugs is going to tell us what game he was most excited about.
Nothing too crazy. I'm thinking about Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and Demon's Souls on
Demon's Souls,
PS5.
Yeah.
I didn't get a PS5 pre-order, but I'll probably get one eventually.
Yeah.
How could I forget? Assassin's Creed. Valhalla is literally two weeks away. It comes out on November 3rd, I think is what the date is.
So not the date. Not I'm gonna make a statement, and you guys cannot hold me by my statement by all, because none of you know who I work for, and if you do not talk about it. But it was a very interesting call I got off today, which was pretty much, if you do not have a pre-order for a console, do not expect to have it in your hand by February. Which I thought was crazy. So I don't know if that's the console people can't keep up with the production. Or if they, I don't know what it is. I found that interesting because I'm the person that's like, just wait, they'll be available. But
yeah.
These people were saying you will not be able to get them in your hands if you.
That's
going to
hurt the sales for 2077 and Valhalla though.
See, I think what they even said
$3,000 or something crazy, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe when they said they had extras in stock, Amazon opened up for like an hour and it was all sold out. But then. When it says delivery date estimate, it was like all the way to like March, April. People are like, what the hell?
But the funnier part is those retailers are also holding back a huge supply of consoles because if those consoles shipped malfunctioned or defective, they want to be able to fulfill the returns. So it turns into like this whole other like thing. So I thought it was super interesting the amount of consoles that were sold or being made and things like that. So... anyways, but I think it's a good talk, guys. You have anything else before you want to leave? You want to plug your channels? You want to talk about tournaments, whatever that may be?
Going back to our tournament, we have two participants right here in the podcast. Cusinto is performing tomorrow. Yeah, we say performing because we don't know how he's going to do. He's been letting me know that it's on his mind all week. he's like, dude, I cannot lose. That's going to look so bad. I cannot lose.
I just did my Discord yesterday. I'm like, dude, I cannot fucking lose first round. like, this is such a mismatch, but we're going to make it happen because, you know, it's for the content. And
yeah, it's for the content. There you go.
I'm on the podcast that I suck, then who am I, right? So,
and then we got Cole over here, who's aka Jumbo Relic, whatever, you know. He's gonna be playing as Cole in the tournament. He just signed up actually yesterday because it's, like I said, three spots opened up, people did not submit their decks, or somebody just, you know, dropped out. So it worked out for him. You know, he was saying he wanted to compete in a tournament and now he got his chance, so yeah.
I have a plug.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, it's Cusinto01 on Twitch, but I made a YouTube video last night. Go check it out. Type in Cusinto. It was like the comeback win of the century. So I thought it was pretty sick. It deserved its own video. Check it out after this.
I'll have to check
it out. You
know,
he's going to like it. Dark's not going to like it because it's Skellige. That's why.
Ooh.
I don't have a problem with Skellige. It's like I don't have a problem with Apple products. It's just they're over-exaggerated. Stop.
Watch the video.
The only dislike is gonna be from Dark because it's going.
I will never dislike your.
It's gonna hurt when I see that dislike. It's gonna hurt.
I will never dislike your content. I will always make a new account with a different name and then dislike your content.
Dark 67. Yeah, 67.
Well, no, guys, it's not gonna be obvious at all.
Light temp.
So if you like the content, the Barkeeps or Adania at YouTube, you can also hit the Barkeeps or Adania.com or go to your favorite podcast engine and type in the Barkeeps of Adania. We're going to have another episode this week. We're probably going to be focusing on introduction to board control, kind of teaching you guys how to deal with people playing cards and then how to be proactive and stuff like that. But guys, thank you so much for joining the podcast. Thank you for listening, and we will see you soon. Peace.